Good morning, it's 6:44. I'm Liam Connors with this VPR News. After 2 weeks of intense negotiating at the 21st climate talks in Paris, nearly 200 of the world's nations signed off on an agreement to finally do something meaningful about curbing global warming. The agreement is more ambitious than any previous accords because countries agreed to target a target of limiting increases in warming temperatures to 1.5 degrees Celsius. If that were to be actually achieved, it would likely ward off some of the most severe effects of climate change. President Obama has said the agreement could be a turning point for the world, but others, not surprisingly, are not as enthusiastic about what came out of the talks. One of those critics is environmentalist and author Bill McKibben, who's well known for arguing that more aggressive measures have been needed to address this issue. He was in Paris for the climate negotiations, and he spoke with VPR's Mitch Wortlieb.
When we get into the details of why you feel this accord fell short in Paris, if you had to give it a letter grade, what would that grade be?
Oh, I think that one's easy. It's incomplete. This is a step along this process, and actually the countries of the world managed to agree on a good target where the world should go. They just didn't come up with much of a plan for getting there yet.
Is the problem then that the accord is non-binding and not so much the details of what went into the accord?
Well, the fact that it's non-binding is testament to the dysfunction of the U.S. political system. Everyone around the world just understands that because there's so much oil money in Congress, the U.S. Senate will never find the two-thirds vote to approve a meaningful treaty. Hence, everybody's negotiating this sort of jury-rigged series of pledges. That's a problem. The bigger problem is that those pledges add up to, when you do all the math, a world that's about 3.5 degrees Celsius warmer or 6-7 degrees Fahrenheit warmer. That's impossible. We can't have a world anything like that. The UN understands that. This treaty, or this accord, sets a target of a world that's about 1.5 or 2 degrees Celsius, so 3 or 4 degrees Fahrenheit warmer. That's not good. It might be survivable, but the plan doesn't bring us that. So in order to make the plan meet the target, those of us who have been pushing governments and companies are going to have to push even harder in the years ahead.
Well, if each country actually did stick to its promises, would the agreement be enough to protect the planet from further climate change to that tipping point that we don't want to get past?
No, it would take us to about a world 3.5 degrees Celsius, 6 or 7 degrees Fahrenheit warmer. And that's beyond what any scientist or indeed any government thinks is sane. The governments of the world said we have to keep it to 1.5 or 2 degrees, which is correct, but they didn't come up with a plan that would do that.
There was some language in the accord that talked about countries shall reduce emissions, and that was changed from shall to should. Why did that happen? What does it mean?
Again, it was another concession to America's political system. If it had been a firm commandment that they should reduce emissions, then the thing would have qualified as a treaty and it would have had to go to Congress. So everyone's trying hard to keep it out of the hands of Jim Inhofe, Chevron, Exxon, and the rest.
Well, you mentioned Jim Inhofe. He is the chairman of the Senate's Environment and Public Works Committee. He's a flat-out denier that climate change is even a problem. I don't think there's a single Republican candidate for president, in fact, who's mentioned global warming as a critical issue, should he or she be elected president. So, Bill, can the U.S. do anything about this problem if the two political parties, the major ones anyway, can't even agree that this is a real concern?
Well, all they can do is work as Obama's doing through executive action. There's a certain number of things he can do. This clean power plan through the EPA that's shutting down coal plants is one example. Blocking the Keystone Pipeline is another. Today, unfortunately, they seem to be capitulating and lifting the longstanding ban on oil exports, which will make the problem worse. So two steps forward and one step back.
Well, beyond governments then, what about someone like Bill Gates, a billionaire who's announced plans to ramp up investments in basic research and development on clean energy? Do you think those kinds of technological fixes are a key part of doing something meaningful?
They're definitely important things to do. The good news is we already have plenty of technology available to start deploying now. Solar panels have fallen in price by about 80% in the last 6 years. So this is a technology that's ready to go.
We spoke with Ann Kapuscinski. She's the new head of the board of directors for the Union of Concerned Scientists before she headed to Paris for the talks. And she said that she didn't think Paris represented a last chance effort to deal with climate change. But she did say that in her view, there's about a 15-year window starting now that the world has to limit the effects of climate change and then start to reverse them to avoid catastrophe. Would you generally agree with that assessment, a 15-year window?
Well, I think we're already in a good deal of trouble, Mitch. I mean, this is the hottest year that the world's ever seen. We've lost most of the summer sea ice in the Arctic. We seem to have lost the undergirding for the great ice sheets of the West Antarctic. At this point, there's no happy solution. At this point, we're trying to stave off utter collapse.
Well, Bill McKibben, I have to ask then a very personal question about this. I mean, you've been an activist on climate change for a long time now, way before it became headline news. How do you keep yourself optimistic, if that word can even be used, about doing anything meaningful here? You're still fighting the fight, I understand.
I keep myself charged up because the activism that we have is working. It may be working too slowly. I may have waited too late to get started. But now that we're building a movement, it's really beginning to produce something. I mean, that's why Paris came out reasonably well and why Copenhagen 6 years ago was such a disaster. There was no movement to hold leaders accountable. They could come back having failed and pay no political price. But that's no longer the case. And as this movement gets bigger and stronger, it will have more successes. You know, at the moment, I think that we increasingly turn our attention from national governments whose limitations, as you point out, have been exposed, and we move more and more towards the people who really run them, the great fossil fuel industry and fossil fuel companies of the world. This is the richest, most powerful industry the world's ever seen. There's a lot of fights left to be had, and if we fight them hard, then we can't stop global warming. Too late for that. But maybe we can keep it from getting utterly out of control.
Environmentalist and author Bill McKibben. You can read his op-ed about climate change in the New York Times. And I want to thank you so much for speaking with us.
As always, take care, man.